Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 31, and we're going to complete our series in the book of Proverbs today. But I'd like to pray first, and I'd like to read a passage first in Ephesians chapter 6. This is a familiar passage to many, and this is also a misused passage, unfortunately, for many in the televangelist circles and what have you. It's talking about the armor of God, but I'd like to focus on verse 18 and verse 19, after he lists the various pieces of armor and what have you. He says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching or praying or interceding thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And this is the key, and this is how I'd like to pray today. "And as for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." I believe in spiritual warfare. I believe, just as the Bible teaches, in spiritual warfare. And this program is an example, hopefully a good example, maybe not, but an example of true spiritual warfare, that we would preach the gospel, that utterance would be given unto me, Paul said, and I pray the same prayer, that I may be able to open my mouth and get on this radio station and perhaps other stations and to boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. So Lord, let's pray to the Lord right now. Heavenly Father, I believe that you've given this series to me to preach. I believe that everything that the people have heard on this station by me, I believe that you have given me. And we started in the beginning talking about out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, that we preached a few sermons, and we've got this series in Proverbs. And I know that you've got other things that you are going to speak to me about to present to the people on this program. Lord, I ask for me. I've always prayed for my listeners every time I've been on, but Lord, I pray for me today, that you would continue to give me what to say. Lord, put a word in my mouth that I would know what to tell the people. I don't want to be like Dr. Sounding Brass, just coming up with a text and saying whatever I feel like. Lord, I don't want to speak to be noticed. I want people to see Jesus Christ. Lord, help me. Lord, and I don't want to take this word wrong, but Lord, anoint me according to your word to preach the gospel. Give me a word. Give me the power to preach, that I would be witnesses, Lord, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we give you the praise. Amen. Now, as I said, we're going to finish up today our study of the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs, and then the last chapter, verse 31. And the reason why I chose these was because, first off, the Lord said. But each one of these chapters is a message in and of itself. Most of the book of Proverbs, you've got one or two verses that go together. And all of the Proverbs of Solomon, all of the one or two verses, they're very important. They mean something. But every time I've ever read through the book of Proverbs, these first 9 chapters have spoken to my heart. And I believe that as you read the Bible, read the Word of God, that it should speak to you, that there should be a cleansing. I understand that there's various portions of Scripture that talk about the Word of God being a cleansing effect in our heart. For example, many times when I read through the prophets, for some reason God chooses the prophets to speak to me. He shows me the things in my life that are wrong. He shows me if there's greed or vanity or pride or whatever thing that lurks in my heart. When I read through the book of Proverbs, it's like I'm going perhaps behind the woodshed, if you want to use that term. The revealed word of God speaks to my heart and shows me the things where I need to improve. It shows me where I need to deny self and to take up my cross daily and to follow the Lord. And I'm very thankful that He does that in my life. I don't know other people. I'm sure God speaks to them in other ways. But when I read the Word of God many times, it's to show me where I've gone off or where I fall short. Perhaps God speaks to you that way. Perhaps not, but He does me. But like I said, every time I read through these chapters, God really moves upon my heart, and I'm privileged to be able to bring these things to you. Most of the book of Proverbs, as I was looking through just a bit ago, it seems to me that there are 31 chapters, and 30 of those were either written by or written about Solomon, King Solomon. Chapter 30, it says, the words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy. I don't really understand why his proverbs are put into the book of Proverbs along with Solomon's, but that's what God chose. But it seems to me that all the other 30 chapters are written either by Solomon or someone that listened to Solomon preach or teach, his sayings were collected. But we understand that Solomon was the son of King David. And I'd like to begin in chapter 31. He says, the words of King Lemuel, this is the prophecy that his mother taught him. And in verse 2 he says, what, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows? Now, it says King Lemuel, if you'll read in the entire Word of God, you probably won't find the word Lemuel. I remember many of the kings of Judah and Israel. I don't recall one that says King Lemuel. It's honestly a nickname for Solomon. The prophecy that his mother taught him. Now, his mother was Bathsheba. Now, if you've been a Christian any length of time, you know the story of David and Bathsheba. David was king in Israel. Saul was the first king, but the one that God appointed, the first king that God chose, after his own heart even, was King David. There was a woman that her house was across the way from David's. I don't think he had a castle, but wherever David lived as king, there was a woman across the way. And one day David looked out of his window and saw Bathsheba was taking a bath. And he looked over there and said, that looks pretty nice. And he called one of his servants and said, hey, go fetch that woman. And one thing led to another, and the next thing, they found out that Bathsheba was pregnant. And instead of realizing, hey, you know, I don't think I should have done this, what King David did was he arranged to have Bathsheba's husband killed. And then finally the prophet came in and told the story about the little lamb and what have you. And when David pronounced the judgment, the prophet pointed his finger at David and said, thou art the man. Thou art the man. And David was smitten in his heart. And you can read these passages. I don't want to necessarily preach on that aspect. But later on, the child was born and the child died. God smote the child and it died. But later on, King David went ahead and married Bathsheba. Now, you must understand how he felt. He is king of Israel. He is the shepherd, the sweet singer of Israel. He's caught in adultery and murder. I'm sure that wasn't a very good time. But you can read Psalm 51 and you can see what David prayed. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me." And that one psalm, you can, if you understand that the law only gave judgment for sin, only had a penalty for sin. But David trusted in the Messiah. He looked forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. And he understood there was forgiveness for sins. He understood that his two crimes, adultery and murder, he should have died. He should have been sentenced to death for both of these crimes, according to the law of Moses. But he depended upon God's mercy, and God forgave him. God forgave him. God cleansed him of his sin, and also Bathsheba. And I'm sure after quite a lot of prayer, they decided that, well, let's go ahead and get married. But it says in here in verse 2, Bathsheba is talking to her son, who became king, King Lemuel. It says the prophecy that his mother taught him. But look at verse 2. She says, "What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows?" Now she's saying, "What? You know, what are you asking me about? Or what's the issue? Or what's the problem? Or what's the great question?" But she says it three times. I believe that in the Word of God, and others have taught that in the Word of God, if God says something once, it's important. If he says it twice, you better listen up. Three or four times if he says it, like in the instance of Deborah, "Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake." That when God repeats himself, we need to really pay attention to what he's saying. Now, in the book of Proverbs, as we've been studying, God shows us wisdom, and that he says that mankind should do everything we can to seek after God's wisdom. And if you've been listening, and again, if you haven't been listening, all of these things, all of the sermons that I've preached so far, I'm a little bit behind, but all of these sermons that you've heard on this station, they're going to be put, or either are or will be shortly put on the internet on my website. And again, my website is joeykelly.net. And you'll find my picture there. You'll find two columns. Essentially, I'm a computer technician, but over on the left side, it has things about this ministry. Go ahead and click on the first link, and you'll eventually get to joeykelly.net/ministry, and you'll find different things, the things about Haiti and what have you. But if you click on the radio link, it'll describe what's there, and it'll give a listing of the MP3 versions of these broadcasts. And there's also an RSS link, so you can subscribe to it, and you can call it a podcast, which essentially that's what it is. But as we studied the book of Proverbs, like I said, God presents wisdom, and he compares wisdom to a virtuous woman, your sister, your spouse, what have you. Somebody that you would trust, somebody that you would look up to, somebody that you would respect. Then he says, if someone departs from God's wisdom, God calls them a fool. And that's derogatory in one sense, but in another sense, it's just saying, hey, you know, you need to go ahead and get wisdom or what have you. But the fool lacks wisdom. The fool doesn't want to follow God. And he likens that or compares that to a not-so-virtuous woman, one that is adulterous, one that in several places it talks about a prostitute. So you've got God's wisdom and then foolishness, the wisdom of the world, what have you. And then you've got a virtuous woman contrasted with a prostitute. And again and again and again, he will contrast these two, and he will give grave warnings that if you fall into sin, you can lose your soul. And if you end up messing around with somebody that's not your wife, or you end up with a prostitute or whatever, you can lose everything that you have. And I hate to date the programs that I preach by mentioning current events, but we all know about David Vitter. And obviously, if you're listening, and this is the year 2040, you're listening to the old programs, you understand that we're talking about here in Metairie, in 2007. And I hate to do that, but to give you an example, I don't know what's going to happen with Vitter, but he could lose his seat in Congress. He could lose a lot of things. He was an up-and-coming politician, but he tried to do the best he could. This thing could destroy him. And that's one of the things that Solomon said, that if you end up going off with prostitutes or sleeping around or what have you behind your wife's back, you could lose everything that you have. But she says, what, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows? Now, that's the same question, what? And he's talking to the same person. Obviously, the one that came out of the womb is her son. But there's a progression here. There's a progression in relationship. There's a progression in how precious her son was to her. She says, what, my son? Well, certainly her son deserves an answer. But what, the son of my womb? Which obviously brings it down to a more personal level, that, hey, you know, I travailed with you, I bore you, I gave birth to you, I brought you up as from a child. But then she says, and what, the son of my vows? Now, we know that Hannah prayed. We know that Hannah went before God and travailed before God again and again. Hannah prayed, and then God gave her a son, and she dedicated him to the Lord. And we can read that his name was Samuel. We understand that Elizabeth prayed in the New Testament, and God gave her a son. His name was John the Baptist. Now, it doesn't say that Bathsheba prayed. But if you think about all the trouble that they went through, her husband was killed and what have you, and the shame that they endured and what have you, she prayed. Trust me, both her and David prayed. They sought God. They fell on their face before God. They stayed on their knees before God for months, for years. I don't know. I really don't know. But they sought God, and I'm sure, I believe the text gives us evidence that she went before God and said, Lord, I messed up. You know, what we did, King David and I, that was wrong. And Lord, you punished us because my child died. But Lord, please have mercy. Please have mercy on us, Lord. Please, Lord, if you give me another son, I'll raise him right. Lord, if you give me another son, I'll make sure that I dedicate him unto you. Just like Elizabeth and just like Hannah. That same kind of prayer, that same kind of pleading before God. And obviously, God did reward her. Reward is the right name, but God had mercy on her and helped her to raise a son. And that son was the second king in the line of David. So it talks about relationship, and it talks about, in a very, very wonderful spiritual sense, the relationship, not just, hey, you know, I went to bed with my husband, I conceived, and I bore a child, and hey, you're it. But it involves God. He says, one shall chase 1,000, two shall put 10,000 to flight, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. You need to include God in the things that you struggle with. You need to bring God into your circumstance. And I don't know how you could say that her and David's circumstance could have been much worse. But then she gives an answer. Verse 3, it says, give not thy strength to women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. And I believe that talks about the contrast between wisdom and foolishness, and a virtuous woman and a prostitute. But in verse 4 it says, and this is the second answer. Remember, she said what three times, but she gives three answers. One answer for each what. Verse 4 through verse 7 it says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. And remember, he was the great judge of Israel. He was the wisest man that ever lived. But drink, or wine, or alcohol, or going out to party, or whatever, if you give your life over to that, you can destroy your understanding. You can end up doing wrong things. You can be a fool, really. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. So in the old times, and we can watch a Western, if the hero gets shot, and the doc is trying to pull the bullet out of his leg, he says, look, here, take this whiskey and take a pull on the whiskey, and then the pain will be dulled. So he's saying that wine has its medicinal use. If you're in a lot of pain, or if you're about ready to die from cancer or whatever, and there's a lot of pain, go ahead and you can numb some of the pain. And also it talks about drowning your sorrows. But the third answer, she says, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. And many times you'll find in the Word of God that our part in life is to be kind to those that are less fortunate to us or than us. Our part is to make sure that we have a right heart before God, and then extend the mercy that God gave us to other folks. It may be somebody that you don't like, it may be somebody that's down and out, or maybe somebody that is less fortunate. If you have the power to help them, then you need to go ahead and do that. So, three questions, and then three answers. And then, I'm running out of time. I'm going to have to read through the end of the chapter. But then, in verse 10 to the end, it talks about the virtuous woman. Now, again, there was that play back and forth between the virtuous woman and the not-so-virtuous, or the prostitute. But then it ends on a very wonderful note, and I'll just read through it. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Let me say that if you're plotting against your husband, and you're gossiping with your girlfriends and what have you, that's worldly, and that's not doing what God said. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. I guess that throws out the feminist movement. It has no place in the life of a Christian. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands on the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. And we just mentioned that we should remember the poor and those less fortunate. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her gold is silk and purple speaks of royalty, remember that. And I don't believe that we should go around saying that we're king's kids or we're anything special. But to do right and to be righteous, you are, in fact, a child of the king. And God will place a robe of righteousness on you, and you get a crown of life if you make it to heaven, if you're faithful and make it to heaven. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Isaiah said that. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. There's simply no need for makeup. I don't want to put a law on the women. I don't want to burden them, but they need to understand that true beauty comes from the heart that is submitted to God. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she should be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.